And now Reverend Elizabeth Price has a message for us.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year.
Are you sick of hearing it? Happy New Year! Happy New You! Happy New Deals at Amazon! Happy New Shopping Opportunities for fitness equipment that will all too soon become hangers for clothing. How are you? How are you really? I noticed myself, I was asking people, how are you? I wanted to know. And some people told me, ups and downs. How was your week? Well, it's been very busy. I love that honesty and that just little bit of realness. You know, too often, how are you? Fine. No, how are you really? How is it with your spirit, with your body, with your mind? One of the chaplains I work with often starts a patient visit with, how are you holding up? How are you holding up with all that's going on? How are you holding out? I like that one too. I'm holding out for better days. How are you holding down the fort? How are you keeping things on an even keel? How are you holding back? How are you holding yourself in these times that are fraught with uncertainty? I like to think about this stuff because it's a time, the new year, to take an inventory of where we've been together as a collective, but also individually, to take an inventory of life, of what's happening in my life, what new thing wants to be born in this new year. Where do I want to be, and where am I now? All too often, this is the time for New Year's resolutions. And I want to feel better. I want to eat healthier. I want to drink less alcohol, drink more water. I know I've made my share of resolutions only to break them. And this is a common experience. People make these resolutions and then I was reading an article in Forbes magazine. Cheryl Robinson made the case that New Year's resolutions often fail due to their rigid, outcome-focused nature and lack of sustainable behavioral change. She interviewed a psychotherapist, Victoria Grinman, and she wrote, "This isn't an issue of motivation, it's a sustainability problem. Resolutions are typically framed around short-term performance and idealized outcomes rather than behavioral readiness and the realities of how change actually unfolds. All too often it's, oh, I know I need to change. But the key to real change is shifting from specific goals to identity-based growth. Focusing on small, repeatable habits that align with who you want to become. Years ago, I was a faithful member of a gym near my home, and I noticed that in January's, through about late February, the gym got really crowded with all the New Year's resolutioners. And they came in with their goals and their quick fixes and their enthusiasm and waiting in line 30 minutes for equipment. So I'm complaining, right? And the staff said, just wait a few weeks. It'll settle down. They'll all be gone. Sure enough, A few would stick around, but the majority would drop out, go somewhere else, do something else, and wait times for cardio equipment would be a lot less and manageable again, and then eventually back to this routine. So back then, I had established that routine, and it was wonderful. And I felt good doing that routine, but it didn't happen overnight. So before becoming a new you, new year, new you, it's wise to explore the same old you. So if there are little adjustments made here and there, it behooves us to become more aware of ourselves, of our motivations, of who we are. So instead of how are you, I want to say who are you? There's so many tests and tools out there to dig a little deeper into who we are. So when we're asking who am I, we might take the Myers-Briggs and find out what our personality preferences are. What does that look like? What are our patterns of relating, of re-energizing ourselves? How do we see the world? What information do we take in naturally, first of all? We might ask instead of this, what color are you? Because true colors is another test out there to categorize people by their motives or their styles. You all are familiar with these, right? A lot of businesses make you take those for team building and bonding and working together better. Yeah, air quotes all over the place. So how do you experience power, intimacy, fun, peace? What brings you all of those wonderful things? And there's strength finder, leadership style inventory, all kinds of things. And these can be fun to explore. Like, do you need a dose of who am I? How do people see me? Am I task-oriented more than people-oriented, collaborative versus directive? How about this one, autocratic versus democratic? I think we know how that they will test. So who are you? Of all the tools and tests, keep coming back to the Enneagram. And is anybody familiar with the Enneagram? It really is more than a parlor game of finding out, you know, what color we are and things like that. It's something different. So there's good cases for it's kind of an ancient system of looking at personality. But I know some of the history, the Catholic Church led by the Jesuits, you know, they're renegades. And I say that lovingly. They embraced this system of personality typing for priests to help them understand their congregants' motivations when hearing confessions and truly offer compassion and pathways to forgiveness. Some of the recovering Catholics in the room might remember that that might not have been a very compassionate place, but initially and intentionally, it really is to help us be able to let go of what we're holding on to, the guilt, the grief, the shame, whatever that might be. It's also a psychological system. It's taken from ancient sources from the Middle East, like the Desert Fathers, but the Sufis also had versions of this. Mystics in different places of the country, of the world. And more recently developed by Mexican psychoanalyst Oscar Icazo and then psychiatrist Claudio Naranjo, brought it to the United States, and there are quite a few people who have studied with Naranjo, and Bea Chestnut's one of those. And I highly recommend anything she writes. So they define more clearly the 9 types, and I just want to talk a little bit about it. It's integrated in all types of therapies, and I also delved deeper into it when I was studying Gestalt. So there are 9 personality types, and they're divided up into 3 meaning-making center, so I'll call it that. There's the gut, so this is the trip to whole body humanness. The gut center, the heart center, and the head center. So eyes, nose, fingers, toes kind of song. Yeah, so the idea is to become more self-aware and move toward integration and wholeness. So to be a whole person. Many of us this time of year don't feel very whole. We feel fractured. With the world in such an uproar, it's easy to start to disintegrate into our worries or our heartaches, things that really just cause reactions in us. We want to fight back and say things that we might regret or that don't feel quite like us. So these are all fractured responses to what's going on. And so the idea of the Enneagram and this whole, it resonates with my spirituality, that when we were born, we were a whole self. Our instincts were intact, so our instincts were to reach out to the environment to get what we needed, to search the environment for what met our needs. The gut, we just acted out of our guts, and hopefully there was some kind person there to help us meet our needs. The gut or the body center. And it is our instinctual self. My instincts are. So in a perfect environment, those instincts are nurtured and the child learns to trust those instincts. When needs are met, the child feels satisfied, loved, protected, just because they are. Not for anything they did. When that happens, the heart center lights up, full of love. Everything is loved, protected, just for who we are. The child feels safe and secure, high levels of trust in the environment, a calm, receptive mind, full of curiosity, ready to understand the environment. The head center. Curiosity is welcome in that perfect environment. What's this? Help me understand what's happening right now. I'm a sponge taking in all the information. A well-adjusted person can be in touch with all of these centers. And everything functions as it should. A fully integrated self in the world. Raise your hand if I'm describing you. Just kidding. I'm not describing anyone who's alive today. because we live in a fractured environment. Our parents, God bless them, didn't do everything correctly, rightly, matching our needs perfectly. They were, turns out, human beings, not gods walking on the earth. So some of us grew up in homes that were safer than others. The rest of us have had to find that support when we were able to understand we needed it. We might have been told, stop that crying right now. We might have been told, stop exploring in there. You can't go there. We might have been met with parents who were overextended and just things didn't feel safe. So heady people tried to understand the threats and then became out of touch with their feelings and didn't feel like they could trust their gut instincts. Emotionally unstable people, heart people, tried to rely on their needs for love and became out of touch with their gut instincts and out of touch with what they were thinking. And likewise, the gut people were met with unmet needs and took it on themselves to get it done themselves and became reactive rather than thoughtful or heartfelt compassion. So the study of the Enneagram through all these teachers I've mentioned can help these out-of-balance personalities grow and integrate mind, body, and heart to become more aware of patterns within us and respond to threats rather than react. To respond out of our heads, our hearts, and our gut instincts. So the fight for social justice, we've all been engaging that in some form or fashion. Through our minds, trying to understand all that's happening in our world to get a unbiased view of it. That's our head centers thinking through, trying to understand, getting the information we need. And it helps us lower our anxiety when we are as well informed as we can be. Is that you? That's me. I feel much better if I can get my head around it, understand it. I think it's natural to react to what we're seeing out of our guts, instinctually to rise up and meet might with fight. That could be a place, but sometimes that just exacerbates the issues. I know that in parenting, it's very tempting to match might with fight. So our little ones are, "I hate you, you're horrible," and on my last nerve, I might say, "Go to your room." Or I've heard parents say, "Mommy, Daddy's going to take a timeout because I'm just so angry." So that's our gut instincts integrated with the rest of ourselves. Also, when we're not in touch with our hearts, needs, desires, hopes, when we try to get what we need from others rather than looking inward to ourselves to look at my own feelings, my own emotions, so that I'm not making decisions based on those, but that my decisions are well informed by my heart. That's the ideal. That's the integrated heart in our bodies. Paying attention to all of this can be exhausting, but I know that it contributes to resilience in the face of all that we're dealing with. And it is a lot. Looking within, and next week I'm going to talk about this a little bit, our soul's desire is to hibernate, to rest at this period. In some ways, our ancient body cells we don't do this anymore really, but we've been through all the hard work of gathering up the harvest, and we've struggled with all the pestilence and the pests that would attack our crops, and we've stored things, and now it's time to rest, relax. It's sort of in our bodies to step back during the cold, harsh winter to get the hygge that we need, that coziness, that warmth in our homes that feels safe and cocooning. But it also, long gray days, that can add up to too much long, dark days and nights. So where does the light come from? We need to find that balance. We need to find where our energy comes from. It comes from our gut instincts. Listening to our guts empowers us. In this new year, in this place and time, we need all the tools we can find to cope with the loss some of us have had of a safe country, a safe home, a safe community. But we have been in similar power struggles before. But this seems more global and more worrisome. We are coping with a loss of peaceful self-expression these days, an absence of heartfelt compassion for our fellow citizens. And this is playing out on the global stage. We're seeing it all over the place. The people in their heads are fearful, the gut people are angry, and the heart people are emotional about all this. How are you? How is it with your body, your nervous system, your gut? How is your heart? How are you making meaning in this time? I love the reading that showing up here is dissidence. It is dissent. We are saying, no matter how our bodies are, mind, body, soul, no matter who we are or how we are here. And we are in a caring community. We're seeking out growth, personal growth. We're seeking out helping others grow. We are integrating a force for peace and justice by showing up here, working together. How can we do this? I have a colleague whose signature reads, and he is a humanist, stay human. He signs every email, stay human. That's how we can do it. We can love one another until we are all fully human, integrated and whole.
What comes to my mind is when we walk into the Y in the morning at 7:30, everybody's asking, how you doing today? And everybody says, fine, okay. But with some of the gentlemen friends that I know a little bit better, we make it clear that if I say okay, what that means is I'm no worse than I was yesterday. But as we age and have more aches and pains,
sometimes staying the same can be just as good. Yeah.
I really like what your colleague, friend,
stay human.
The stay human thing, and I think, depending on how you define that, that can be harder than it may seem. It's, of course, like most things, easier said than done. But so much about our world, particularly the Western world, and particularly America, is so focused on... I don't want to put a politician on a pedestal too much, but I do think this person and this quote is potentially a good omen for the future of our country in the face of Donald Trump. But Zohran Mamdani, mayor of New York, said in a speech in the past couple weeks since his inauguration that his goal was to replace the coldness of rugged individualism with the warmth of collectivism. And that, I think, gets at the core of what stay human, being human is not being alone and isolated and being connected to the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. And the most important part of that is staying connected to those other humans right next to us and letting them help us stay human, stay compassionate.
Thank you. That is so true. And that rugged individualist is split off, so disconnected, and who can hold that person accountable? Not open to accountability. So yes, integrated into community, that kind of energy can be, that's a good mark of a leader when connected. So don't be lonely at the top.
I want to follow up a little bit on that. Just short, I think. It's not just that you want to be ready to support other people, but you don't want to be too strong so you're not supported by other people. Because that give and take creates stronger community and stronger bonds. Plus, if you're a strong, everybody knows you in the community as a strong person, and you're willing to accept help, that gives other people permission to accept help also.
Yeah, I once heard one of the greatest gifts you can give someone is a request for help.
We have time for one more comment question.
Yeah. I was going to use this as my joy, but I'll say it now that I, what you were saying, and then also very much in line with what Joel just said, I'm grateful for this place here so much that allows me to come and hear from people processing similar things and, you know, trying to be human together. And that there's always this community that even if it's just sitting here listening to what you have to say or having coffee with people that are like mine, that it's building the stronger collective, sometimes in very small ways, but sometimes in really big ways. And I'm just so grateful for that. Like, that was the thing this week that I kept thinking to myself when I would hear some piece of news that would just be such a gut punch was, you know, I kind of can't wait for Sunday and to be able to sit here with people that are having similar thoughts, whether we talk, hash through it or not.